Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 13th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for all that you have taught us in the past, and we look forward with anticipation to that which you have for us. We ask that you would continue to strengthen us with understanding, so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we continue the subject, the seven trumpets, and this will be part two. Of course, we are still working from the Bible readings for the home circle, published in 1889. The subject for today, June the 13th, 2020, the seven trumpets, part two. Now, we would recommend that you check part one for the beginning of this subject, and of course, you just go back one day to June the 12th, 2021. All right, today, June the 13th, the second part of the seven trumpets. Question. After the fall of Western Europe, what power in the East arose to harass and overrun the Roman world, East and West? Now, the answer to that question would be Mohammedanism, commonly known as the Turkish or Ottoman power, which arose in Arabia with Muhammad in 622 AD. Now, let me remind you that there was a Western and Eastern Roman Empire, and this is symbolic of the fact that there were two legs in Daniel chapter 2, the dream of Daniel chapter 2. Those two legs are not accidental. There was the Western Empire, which was ended in 476, and there was the Eastern Empire, which continued until 1453, more than 1,000 years, just about 1,000 years later. All right. So notice that there was this separation of the Roman Empire, and our first question today continues on that train of the fall of the Roman Empire. So the first question I just asked was, after the fall of the Western Rome, what power in the East arose to harass and overrun the Roman world, East and West? And that would be Mohammedanism, or the Ottoman power, or the Turkish power. And that would have been in 622 AD. Question. How is the fifth trumpet or first woe introduced? Revelation chapter 9 verses 1 to 3 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." So notice, Attila is symbolized by the star of the third trumpet in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Muhammad, by the star of this trumpet, the bottomless pit, doubtless, refers to the waste of the Arabian desert from which came forth the Mohammedans or the Saracens of Arabia like swarms of locusts. The darkening caused by the smoke from the pit fitly represents the spread of Mohammedanism and its doctrines over Asia, Africa, and portions of Europe. Their power as scorpions is strikingly seen in their vigorous and speedy attacks upon and overthrow of their enemies. So now we're getting a feel for the beginning of Mohammedanism, or Islam, that rise of power that scattered all over that part of the world. Over a large part of Spain, over North Africa, Egypt, Syria, Babylonia, Persia, North India, and portions of Central Asia were spread to the more or less perfect exclusion of native customs, speech, and worship, the manners, the language, and the religion of the Arabian conquerors. Now that gives you a feel for the beginning of the spread of the Mohammedan religion and all of its coverage, not just religious, but its cultural and societal impact. Question. What command was given these locusts? Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4 says, "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men that have not the seal of God in their foreheads." Notice now that the Arabian tribes were gathered for the conquest of Syria. That was in 633 AD. And the Caliph Abu Bakr, the successor of Muhammad, instructed the chiefs of his army not to allow their victory to be stained with the blood of women and children, to destroy no palm trees, nor burn any fields of corn, to cut down no fruit trees, nor do any mischief to cattle, and to spare those religious persons who live retired in monasteries and propose to themselves and purpose in themselves to serve God in that way. But, he said, you will find another sort of people that belong to the synagogue of Satan, who have shaven crowns. Be sure you cleave their skulls and give them no quarter till they either turn Mohammedan or pay tribute. In this, Mohammedanism itself, a false religion, is revealed as a scourge to apostate Christianity. In a short time, they, the Mohammedan saccharins, had taken from Assyrian all the principal and Semitic lands, Palestine, Syria, Mesopotamia, Assyria, and Babylonia. To these was soon added Egypt. And you notice that that whole attitude began way back then. The attitude now of Islam is when they invade you and they want to convert you, they say, convert or die. You don't have a choice. You're either going to convert or they're going to be destroyed. All right. Question. What were these locusts said to have over them? Revelation 9 and verse 11 says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, or destroyer." Notice, for hundreds of years, the Mohammedans and invading Tartar tribes, like the locusts, had no general government or king over them, but were divided into bands or factions under separate leaders. But in the 12th century, Temujin, king of the Mongols, or Mongols, who is described as the most terrible scourge that ever afflicted the human race, built up an empire at the cost, it is estimated, says Mayors in General History, of 50,000 cities and towns and 5 million lives. This was followed by the more permanent Tartar Empire, founded by Ottoman a century later, commonly known as the Ottoman Empire, and ruled by the Sultan. From the first, the great characteristic of the Turkish government has been that of a destroyer. Speaking of a war by the Turks upon the Byzantine Empire in 1050, Gibbon, in his book on chapter 57, says, "The myriads of the Turkish horse overspread a frontier of 600 miles from Taurus to Erzurum, and the blood of 130,000 Christians was a grateful sacrifice to the Arabian prophet." In 1058, the Turks wrested the Holy Land from the Saracens, desecrated the holy places, and treated the pilgrims to Jerusalem with cruelty. This brought on the 9 unsuccessful crusades of the next 2 centuries for the recovery of the Holy Land. Now, this is some very important history, and I'm sure that at some point we will come back and take another look at this as you grapple with it. But we just want to show you how profound and how detailed the book of Revelation is, and all that God has told us in advance would take place. And it did occur exactly as he said that it would. Next question. What definite period is mentioned under this trumpet? Revelation chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months." It was on the 27th of July in the year 1299, says Gibbons in his book, that Ottoman first invaded the territory of Nicomedia in Asia Minor. And the singular accuracy of the date, he adds, seems to disclose some foresight of the rapid and destructive growth of the monster. And of course, you'll find that in Gibbon's book, Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And we've been taking a look at that because it is a quite accurate description of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. That last quote that I took just came from chapter 64 on paragraph 14. This then we take to be the beginning of the period referred to in the Bible. A Bible month consists of 30 days. 5 months would be 150 days, allowing a day for a year, 150 years from July 27, 1299, would reach to July 27, 1449. During this period, the Turks were engaged in almost constant warfare with the Greek Empire, and yet without conquering it. Question. With what statement does the fifth trumpet close? Revelation chapter 9 and verse 12 says, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." What command is given under the sixth trumpet? Revelation 9 verses 13 and 14 says, "And the sixth trumpet sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Notice these four angels are understood to refer to the four leading Turkish sultanates: Aleppo, Iconium, Damascus, and Baghdad, of which the Ottoman Empire was composed, situated in the country watered by the river Euphrates. As a striking parallel, it may be noted that under the sixth plague, the four angels of Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, will loose the winds of war. The waters of the river Euphrates will be dried up, and the armies of the nations will assemble for the Battle of Armageddon. Question. What warlike scene is given under this trumpet? Revelation chapter 9, verses 16 and 17 says, "The number of the armies of the horsemen was twice 10,000 times 10,000. And the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone." In the year 1453, Muhammad II the Great, Sultan of the Ottomans, laid siege to the capital, Constantinople, that would be the Roman Empire in the east, with an army of over 200,000 men. After a short investment, the place was taken by storm. The cross, which since in the time of Constantine the Great had surmounted the dome of the Sophia, was replaced by the crescent, which remains to this day. So now notice they had put a cross there, symbol of the death of Christ. And when the Ottomans or the Mohammedans took control of the Eastern Empire in 1453, they removed the cross and they put the crescent, the sign of the crescent, which remains there until this day. Thus, Constantinople, the eastern seat of the Roman Empire, since the days of Constantine, was captured by the Turks. Reference also seems to be made here to the use of firearms, which began to be employed by the Turks toward the close of the 13th century, and which discharged from horseback would give the appearance of fire and smoke issuing from the horses' mouths. In the Battle of Armageddon, in which allusion may here be made, an army of twice 10,000 times 10,000, or 200 million, will doubtless be assembled. All right. Next question. What was the result of this warfare by means of fire and smoke and brimstone? By these three were the third part of men killed. And that is what Revelation chapter 9 and verse 18 says. So the question, what was the result of this warfare by means of fire and smoke and brimstone? Revelation 9 and verse 18 gives the answer. By these three was the third part of men killed. This shows the deadly effect of this new means of warfare. Constantinople was subdued, her empire subverted, and her religion trampled in the dust by the Muslim conquerors. Question. What definite period is mentioned under this trumpet? Revelation 9 and verse 15 says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. An hour in prophetic time is equal to 15 days. A day stands for a year. A month for 30 years. A year for 360 years. Added together, these amount to 391 years and 15 days, the time allotted for the Ottoman supremacy, commencing July 27, 1449, the date of the close of the fifth trumpet. This period would end August 11, 1840. In exact fulfillment of the words of inspiration, this date marks the fall of the Ottoman Empire as an independent power. His empire wasted beyond time of recovery in a war with Muhammad Ali, Pasha of Egypt. The Sultan of Turkey submitted to the dictates of the then four great powers of Europe and his minister. His minister's name was Raif Bey on that very day, August 11, 1840, and reached Alexandria, bearing not the Sultan's ultimatum, but that of the powers to place in. And this was placed in the hands of the rebellious Pasha. Since then, Turkey has existed only by the help or sufferance of the great powers of Europe and has commonly been referred to as the sick man of the East. Now, this is a quite detailed history of all that we have seen happening in that part of the world, the rise of Mohammedanism, the control of Islam in that part of Asia and the rest of the world, the Eastern Empire, the former Roman Eastern Empire. And notice the impact of it still remains today. Question. With what announcement does the sixth trumpet close? Revelation 11 and verse 14 says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The definite period under the sixth trumpet brings us to 1840, when Turkey lost her independence. Her final downfall, we understand, will come at the opening of the seventh trumpet. Now that's Turkey in prophecy. All right. Question. What is to be finished when the seventh trumpet is about to sound? Revelation chapter 10 verses 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh trumpet, when he is about to sound, then is finished the mystery of God, according to the good tidings which he declared to his servants, the prophets. Notice the mystery of God is the gospel. That is what it is. When this trumpet is about to sound, therefore, the gospel will close and the end will come. The time of trouble of Daniel 12 and verse 1 and the seven last plagues and the battle of Armageddon spoken of in Revelation 16 will take place when this trumpet begins to sound. Question. What event marks the sounding of the seventh trumpet? Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The seventh trumpet, therefore, brings us to the setting up of God's everlasting kingdom. Question. What is the condition of the nations, and what other events are due or impending at this time? Revelation 11 and verse 18 says, And the nations were angry, and their wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Notice that the closing scenes of this world's history and the judgment are clearly brought to view here. Ever since the loss of independence by the Ottoman Empire in 1840, the nations have been preparing for war as never before, in view of international complications and a war, a world war, which all fear is inevitable upon the dissolution of Turkey and the final disposition of its territory. Towering above all others, the Eastern question has been the one of paramount concern to them. The investigative judgment began in heaven in 1844, at the close of the prophetic period of 2300 days. When this time is finished, the time of reward will have arrived, and the end will have come, and the saints will themselves sit in judgment. What a powerful, powerful description of things to come. What scene in heaven was presented to the prophet as the seventh trumpet about to sound? Revelation 11 and verse 19 says, And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This forcibly calls attention to the closing work of Christ in the second apartment, or most holy place, of the sanctuary in heaven, which began in 1844. And of course, the reference to the Ark of God's Testament is a forcible reminder also of that which is to be the standard of the judgment, the law of God, or Ten Commandments. That is where we stand today. That is what we look forward to. We are told that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And what is powerful about this is that in all through his word it is made clear that it marks the setting up of God's everlasting kingdom. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have given us in advance of their events taking place. We thank you that you have informed us and allowed us the privilege of knowing that which we must anticipate. We ask now that you would fill us with clear understanding, that our characters might be developed and transformed according to your will, that we be obedient to all that you have instructed and be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 13th, 2021.